We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Austin Mackey in, and Jake the Snake Schultz getting you ready for the fastest hour in hockey. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. This show of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Game day for our show. Stanley Cup Final resumes in Sunrise. Florida Panthers, Edmonton Oilers, both looking for a 2-1 lead. Pivotal game three, if I do say so myself. Mm-hmm. In a few minutes also, Chris Pronger will be joining us. Hall of Famer, Stanley Cup champion, Olympic gold medalist, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. I mean, what an incredible game Friday night. I got to tell you guys, this is as good as hockey gets. I know we complained about how long it's taken for them to get to play the games and the gaps are too big and whatever else. We got the right teams in the final. It's great.
It did not sneak up on us. They were just two freight trains heading towards each other. There's no doubt that over the course of many, many years now, we've made the argument that the best hockey's in the first round, and it kind of just dies down towards a Stanley Cup final. But regardless of what the regular season standings told us, these two are the two best teams in the Stanley Cup final.
Absolutely.
And no questions asked. There's no what if here, what if there, Vegas, Colorado, Winnipeg. No. Two best teams, deservedly so.
Yeah.
In it.
And you know what else I think helps is that Oilers have played some short series, right? They have not really beat themselves up along the way. And Florida, too. Florida played Carolina, too, a fairly short series. First round was a short series. What was the second one again? But anyway, they've had short series. So I think you've got a fresher version of the best teams.
Two conference finals. I'm sure the bean counters weren't too happy about this, either at the league head office or the Players Association. Or whatever, but five games for each club in the conference final gave them plenty of time to get ready again to go head to head.
And now you got the juice, so the Connor McDavid play he makes on the power play to Draisaitl on the back door.
With the toe drag and the shift and the...
Yeah. I've heard individual stories from people about what they did or saw. I called my kid, was up in his room reading before bed, and I called him downstairs to come watch it. My buddy said he called his wife downstairs to come watch it. It just was such a perfect embodiment of all the things this guy can do.
Yeah.
The edge work and the vision and the puck, the
good
hands.
Lord.
Oh, that's gross, dude.
He has...
Rushes at home.
He's done that probably 100,000 times since he's 7 years old. That...
But shouldn't do it in the Stanley Cup final.
When you do... But he can, and he should.
Yeah.
Right?
He should.
And he did.
No, I know. It's just aren't the other teams supposed to be better by now?
When you watch, when you go to your respective rink and you actually find a skills coach and a player and players, they now practice that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
They do. It's like the things that they're doing now to train and to get prepared with the stick handling is just stuff we would have said, well, that's never going to happen in a game. So why am I wasting my time on it?
The thing with
McDavid, do it now.
Yeah, but a lot of these guys, if you took a bunch of kids, a bunch of 12-year-old AAA kids, and said, "Okay, you're going to make this cut, you're going to pull it back," they can do it. They can do it. But the ability to set people up at the speed of the game and put them in those spots and still see what's happening as you're doing it.
That's why he's the best in the world.
That's why he's the best in the world.
That's why he's the best to ever step foot on the ice. He is. I mean, you can say more accomplished. And I sent out a tweet saying he's the greatest hockey player ever, and everyone's like, "Oh, you know, Lemieux." They're all more accomplished.
Yeah.
They're all unbelievable players.
Yeah.
But nobody that has ever stepped on the ice has looked like he has looked.
And maybe we'll say that about every generation's best player going forward.
Did we ever say that about Sid?
No, probably not.
Did we ever say that about Ovi? Did we ever say that about I don't know?
Connor's the best player to ever.
Ovi scoring goals, yes. Right?
Yeah,
he shoots it in the net.
Shooting it in the net, he's the best ever.
Yes.
But no question.
I mean, that there are very few, like you mentioned, call somebody into the room moments.
Yeah.
But that play legitimately took my breath away. Like, I audibly gasped by myself sitting on my couch alone.
I put my both hands behind my head,
no own. Way! Barkov and Ekblad, too. They're no good.
Barkov and Ekblad. But, what?
But he knows that, like, all of that, all those accolades of being, like, the best and whatever the best means to you doesn't mean anything if it doesn't come with a championship.
And guess what? I don't know if we know this or not, but the Florida Panthers won that hockey game. So
Right. One more thing on that before we get to the actual
game. And a 37-year-old guy who's 5'10 was probably the best player on the ice in that game, other than McDavid.
The last thing on the McDavid thing is he's always skating, even in the offensive zone. And earlier on that same shift, he's trying to attack in and get in and do something like that, but it's not there. So he bails on it, kicks it out. But it's the skating, it's the attacking that, to me, allows you to set people up. And here's what Sammy's talking about. Bradley.
Could you have more respect for a guy than you have for Brad Marchand right now? I can't believe it. I can't believe how much I like him. He's scoring goals against the Canadian team, playing for the Panthers.
That's because you do have blue and white.
No.
He's got future Leafitis.
Once the Leafs are out of your equation,
you're gonna hate him again.
Now you're valuing what he's really done all along for the Boston Bruins too.
But I think it's just more about growing up and kind of realizing how incredible a career he's had.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
growing up.
Yeah, earlier I was I just was like, I could never ever like that guy. And then you see him put on the Canada jersey and he's affable, and him burying Biz all the time, he's hilarious. Like, he's an incredibly likable guy, and he was dynamite in that hockey game on Friday night. Dynamite.
Too good.
Shorty.
And I think he's got a couple of good more years in him. He doesn't look like he's ready to slow down anytime soon, despite knocking on the door of 40 in a few years.
He's going to make a couple bucks this summer, Kipper. We have our man.
All right, let's welcome him in. Chris Pronger, Hockey Hall of Famer, 2-time gold medalist, and, of course, Stanley Cup champion. Prongs, man, you've been on the circuit. Sammy's last 3 weeks, man, it's like, find Prongs. We need Prongs bad here. How's it going?
I'm great. You guys don't need me. You got it all covered.
No.
I've been listening.
No. So, no real surprise for you how good the hockey's been. And am I fair to say that these teams are so good, they're so close, that either one of them could be easily up 2-0 or easily down 2-0?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I think the one thing about the two games that I wouldn't like if I'm Edmonton is the fact that they've had to come back in both. As we saw, I think, Florida was 31-0 when leading after two, which is pretty good stat. And now they're 31-1-1, I guess you could say. They lost the lead and then won in double overtime. But interesting how Edmonton seems to always be able to find a goal when they need it. But I don't know if they want to keep tempting fate that often with a Florida Panthers team that has had success, understands what it takes to win, and ultimately will lock down games when they absolutely need to.
Do you think Sam McKee, and I'll say myself too, because I joined in on that, are way off base when making the Connor McDavid comments? I believe he said best player to ever wear skates. Is he worthy of those superlatives at this point?
He's getting there. Yeah. I don't know if he's quite attained that status, but he certainly has the package. He's got everything that it takes to become that type of player. I think he needs a little bit more longevity, and he's missing he's missing a large trophy.
You know, it's
right.
It's,
I think
it's
we're talking about different things.
It's kind of not fair, but it's fair that we can sit there and marvel at certain guys over the course of their careers. And there's a number of them, Prongs, in history that can go back to Marcel Dion, Gilbert Perreault. We're talking about very, very talented guys. But without that silver trophy, man, it goes down many notches on how they're remembered.
It does. And yes, hockey is a team sport. But I think they have shown him and Draisaitl the 1-2 punch that they have there, that given an opportunity, they can at least get them there. The issue is they need that surrounding cast to then chip in, which they did in the first three rounds, and now have not. You know, losing Hyman Hurts in the goal front. Corey Perry has scored some huge goals for him. But they need more from the rest of the supporting cast to be able to finish it and win this year against the strong Florida Panthers team who, you know, as I'm hopping on, you're talking about Todd Marchant, who plays on the third line and has scored big goals for Florida throughout the course of this playoffs and plays a pivotal role on that third line. And even their fourth line, they don't get a ton of ice time, but they don't lose momentum for their team. They're still dumping and chase and grinding, playing physical, wearing on their opponent, and not spending a ton of time in their own end, which gives Paul Maurice that comfort in knowing he can throw them out there and he can give the top three lines a little break when they need it.
Well, first off, Chris, not to correct you, you did say Todd Marchand. I think you've got some memories of your Anaheim days creeping in there. Speaking of Stanley Cups. But to that point, like to the depth.
Same stature.
Yeah, totally, yes. Totally. Yep. Different speed levels. I remember Todd had a little bit higher top gear, I think. But looking at these, the way that Florida plays and how hard they are on these top guys and, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl obviously have held their own against everyone who keys on them every series. Can two guys, can they do enough if these other guys don't step in, don't chip in? Are they special enough that they could do it essentially on their own? I know that's exaggerating. It always takes more than that, but you know what I mean.
No, I do know what you mean. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. They've been able to will themselves into that first game. Whether they deserved it or not, well, that's for the naysayers to suggest. But, I think they can get to even with those two players.
Yep.
But they are going to have to rely on some other players in their lineup to provide some offense or some momentum swings throughout the course of the game. And they get it sporadically, but they don't get it often enough.
Mm-hmm.
You're watching and listening to Chris Pronger, Hall of Famer, Stanley Cup champion, gold medalist. So, Prongs, I can't believe I'm going to ask you this question, but Sam Bennett falling on goalies, what are we going to do about this?
It seems like every time somebody bumps a goalie, something else gets brought up.
There may be
two people on this call that were involved with it, but
what do you think?
It seems to become a regular occurrence. I fall on both sides of it. Do I think the latest one was on purpose? I actually do.
Which got the penalty.
Yes, of course.
Which was penalty worthy.
Which was a penalty, but there's a lot of people, players, former players, saying that was not a penalty. Ekholm was pushing him directly to the side, and he fell this way. So right. You do the math on that,
and
yep. Nick, you could maybe speak better to that.
Well, no, but you know, at the end of the day, when we evaluate, it's like he gets up, he plays, and you move on. If he tweaks a knee, if it's a twisted of an ankle by chance, we are talking about a different conversation, correct?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. If Stuart Skinner is hurt, we are absolutely having a different conversation.
If you were behind the bench right now, what would you be telling, if you're Paul Maurice right now, what do you tell Sam Bennett? Hey, take it easy here. I mean, you're okay. Keep doing your thing.
Absolutely not. You do not tell him to change one thing in his game.
Okay.
He's their leading goal scorer. He's been money.
He's pushing the envelope, though. Playoffs.
He is. And you know what? Sometimes you have to.
Okay.
And that's the way he plays to the best of his abilities, and he's playing at the highest level for him. He's occasionally crossing that line and may or may not get a speeding ticket, as our friend Brian Burke used to say. But for him to play to the best of his abilities for the Florida Panthers, he's got to play on the edge. And from time to time, he will cross it. But that gets the most out of him. And they get the most mileage out of him and his skill set when he plays that way.
Prongs, what can you tell us about how important the situation is for a defenseman in terms of their ability to play the best. I'm talking about Seth Jones going from a team that wasn't very good. You plug him in on Florida, and all of a sudden, he looks like one of the 10 best D-men in the league some nights. Like, the way he skates, his size, he's even physical right now. Like, he just seems to be a different guy.
Well, I think sometimes it's the system that you play in, too. Mm-hmm. They have very tight gaps, Florida, that is. They have very tight gaps. They play with an edge. They're moving their feet all the time. He's allowed to use his skill set, his tools. Great and good skater. You know, maybe lost a step in the mobility department as we look at his early parts of his career and see him now. But good first pass, can provide offensive production, good shot. We've kind of seen him from the time he's gotten there to now throughout the course of these playoffs get stronger and stronger and stronger and really kind of feel out his role and understand how he needs to play to help his team win. And he's really flourished and thrived under Paul Maurice's system.
Hey, Prongs, a lot's been made the last couple of days with so much time off that Edmonton head coach Knobloch changed up the defensive pairs completely, all three of them. So what we've seen in the past between, I guess, Ekholm and Bouchard now looks like Nurse and Bouchard, Klingberg and Ekholm, and Wallman and Kulak here. If you were walking into that dressing room the other day and you saw all the switches and you weren't really told about them, how would that make you feel as a defenseman going in? I know as a winger, as a fourth line guy, sometimes I'd like see a switch up and I'm like, I'm excited for it because I can only get better players, right, as on the fourth line.
Do
but,
it.
But what about these guys? If in fact that, is it a smoke screen or is he legitimately thinking about a complete reboot in the pairings?
I think he's trying to find the best fit for the matchups that he's looking for against the Florida Panthers top nine. And I don't think Nurse and Kulak have had the best start to this series. Previous series, I thought they played really, really well. Bouchard and Ekholm have been okay. Obviously, Bouchard has been up in the attack and providing offense. And when you cheat for offense, you're going to have some breakdowns. And one thing Darnell Nurse does very well is defend, and he's mobile. And we don't know how Ekholm is feeling. You know, can he take – it looked to me like in that last game, he looked a little tired. He looked a little not lackadaisical, but he didn't have the same jump or energy or jam to his game the second half of that hockey game and then on into the overtimes. So that might play a part in it too, because Evan Bouchard plays a lot and Darnell Nurse can play those types of minutes. And Klingberg has been very effective. You get the two Swedes together and then you've got Kulak and Wallman who played together earlier in the playoffs and played pretty well together. So it gives them a lot of optionality, I think, on the back end for select matchups and who they want to move around. But I think part of it might be if these are the actual pairings, I think one of it is, you know, they want to play Bouchard and Nurse a lot more. Ekholm couldn't quite match up with being out as long as he was out. That's a lot of minutes to eat up for a guy just coming back in.
So you expect some legit changes back there then based on what we saw the other day in practice?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Okay.
It would make a lot of sense based on what I saw in game two from Ekholm and based on the Kulak Nurse pairing and struggle might be a strong word, but they had some issues, switching it up. And that's the beauty of their back end right now is they're very versatile. They can move guys around. When you look at their left side, Ekholm and Nurse are defensive defensemen. Bouchard and Klingberg are offensive, so that moving them around makes a lot of sense. Wallman and Kulak, both mobile, both puck movers, both able to jump in the attack. And then you add Stetra as a 7th D. They're pretty mobile and active back there. And I like the optionality of being able to change it up a little bit. Certainly, I don't think hurts them.
So far, the goaltending hasn't hurt the Oilers either. Do you watch this series with Stu Skinner in mind as like a, oh God, I hope this doesn't bite them sort of thing? Or are you of the belief that, look, he's shown in enough big games that he can be that he's solid?
He's made some really good stops throughout the course of the playoffs since he came back in against Vegas, then again against Dallas, and even in game one and game two, he made a number of good stops. There's been a number of shots that have kind of hit him up in the shoulder area, but he's been very square and you know, just been big in the net, which I think you want out of your goaltender. He's a big guy. You want him playing big, whereas, you know, I think in the with the Winnipeg Jets two series that I watched against the St. Louis and Dallas, Hellebuyck was very hunched over and looked very small in the net for a really big guy. Mm-hmm. And that shows a lack of confidence. In this case, with Skinner being as big as he is and looking big in there, I think that's a positive for the Edmonton Oilers.
I'm going to go kind of against the grain on you on that one. And I'm a firm believer of it's the ones that you don't make, you get judged on, than the ones that you do make. And I didn't like Marchand's game-winning goal. Leaky, he's there. Maybe the paddle should have been down. Maybe it shouldn't. But that one, that's you need that save there.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the difference maker in net, as you know. It's not how many you make; it's when you make them.
Yeah.
And they needed that save in that particular moment. And it was, you know, to your point, it wasn't like he came in unabated with nobody harassing him and had full control. He kind of lost it as he came over to his back end and just looked like he tipped it. I don't know if he didn't have his paddle down. I don't know if it missed his paddle. It was leaky. There's no question, Nick. But
yeah.
I'm not going to hold out.
Oh, no, he's right there.
I think he's been pretty good.
Yep. No, I agree.
Has he been excellent? No, because if he was excellent, he would have made that save. But he's been really good and above average for what he showed in the first series against L.A. when he got pulled.
So, you know, you've been in so many of these playoff series. What type of adjustments start to happen after a couple games when you go from home to the road? Well, you know, what are you looking at doing differently as a team?
Well, I think, and Nick can attest to this, sometimes you want to get on the road. It's a little, especially in the Stanley Cup Finals, you're away from all the pomp and circumstance. You're away from all the family and all the craziness, and you're just at the hotel with your teammates, immersed in preparing for what you need to do and how you need to perform and how you need to execute and thinking about the subtle changes maybe that the coaching staff's going to put into place or what you can do if you're a centerman, what you can do on faceoffs better. If you're a defenseman, you know, how can you get the net, use the net? How can you clear for the front of the net? All the little details, all those little intangibles that the casual fan doesn't really pick up on. And those subtle adjustments of the defenseman not standing in the crease or having their feet near the blue paint, but moving up a foot or two so that those cross ice passes from side to side aren't hitting your feet in front of the net.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always had a hard and fast rule that I needed to be at least 2 feet outside of the blue paint. If I'm standing there, you know, jostling with an opponent, trying to move him from the front of the net or, you know, take his stick away, what have you. We've seen a lot of pucks go in off defensemen this playoff over the course of, you know, what are we at, 80 games or whatever it is. All the way up and down. And there's been a lot of goals scored off defensemen's feet, legs, whatnot. And at this juncture, in this stage of the playoffs and the Stanley Cup Finals, you want to try to negate any small issue like that happening on your watch.
Prongs, just one more quick one for me, as Sammy's telling me we're squeezing a little bit of time here, but I really value your opinion as a top defenseman in the league over many, many years on what Seth Jones is doing right now and where he came from out of Chicago, where he was kind of, you know, his career as a top defenseman was kind of dead and buried over there. And now all of a sudden he's doing what he's doing. And sometimes is it just about putting a guy in a situation to succeed?
Well, I think you're walking into a room that has the winning pedigree and the culture. You don't come in there and try to change them to you. You're going in and you're changing your outlook, you're changing your mentality to the people in that locker room and the culture that they've created from the head from ownership to management to the coaching staff to the star players that are in that locker room that have already won, and they're now bringing you along for the ride and trying to win another one. I think it's provided a new glimmer of hope in his career that he probably felt was fading in Chicago, losing, listless every night. And I think his attitude was lowered to that standard, which was we're going to lose every single night. And now the standard is we're going to win every single night and we're going to compete. And as we know with the Florida Panthers, they're going to drag everybody into the fight every single night. And just knowing and preparing every game that you never know what's going to happen on the ice with them. And the physical side of it, big guy, he needs to use his body, his skating ability, jumping up in the attack, providing offense. And then the way he defends, long stick, mobile, able to cut down the ice in half and really kind of segment the defensive zone and force his man in the corner where he can then create turnovers and use his good stick. So I think he's been a little bit better, as I mentioned earlier, throughout the course of the playoffs, but I think he's been better maybe than they expected at this stage of him getting there. You know, he didn't get off to a great start when he was in Florida. And, you know, I think it as we know, it takes a little bit of time to adjust to a new system, new style, and also the compete level that they bring each and every night is going to be a lot different than what he saw in Chicago.
Awesome stuff as always on our show, man. We really appreciate your time. Prongs, thanks for doing this. Enjoy the game. Game 3 tonight, Florida Panthers.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Oilers. That is the one, the only Chris Pronger.
Good stuff.
One of the best to ever suit up on any blue line.
Yeah. No, he's bang on with a lot of that stuff. I like the part about being 2 feet in front of the crease when you're conducting those battles.
Yeah.
Got to be aware of where you are.
Yeah, Sam Bennett. Sam Bennett's such a dirtbag.
It's so funny but how it's like, if you were a parent, you'd be like, oh, stop it. We know exactly what you're doing.
You can't win without dirtbags.
Duh.
No,
and that's why I'm saying that I'd like the Leafs to pay him $10 million to do it.
You need a dirtbag in Toronto, Sammy, so badly.
Yeah, I know. I'm fully aware. Okay, go ahead. What are you going to say?
Just like, you know, Florida has 3 UFAs that are kind of dirtbags. You know, and every one, the Leafs are just like, could we have one of them?
Please
send us a bag of dirt.
How about we sign Jason Spezza instead? Anyways, game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play latest odds, and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. It's 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Pretty surprising line tonight for the hockey game.
Let me guess.
Florida Panthers
favorites. Minus 130.
They are minus 140 favorites. The Edmonton Oilers are plus 120 in this hockey game tonight. I'm just going to see what the actual series is at. So it's pretty close. It's minus 105, minus 115, minus 105 for the Oilers, minus 115 for the Florida Panthers. So they think tonight is not necessarily a deciding factor. But, I mean, I read this. I had the stat in the lineup here. That when a best-of-7 Stanley Cup final is tied 1-1, the winner of Game 3 holds an all-time series record of 23-7. 767 winning percentage.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big number. I know it's historical. I know it doesn't necessarily matter as much, but like...
No, that matters.
To me, that's a huge number, and I don't know. I just think anytime you can get this version of the Edmonton Oilers as a plus 120 underdog, feels like something you got to take.
I wonder, though, this Hyman thing matters, man.
It does.
It really
does. But
they've
scored. They've scored in the game.
No, I know, but he's their guy who falls on the goalie, and he's their guy who punishes their D on the forecheck.
Fair
and,
enough.
Like, as the series goes on, they have Kane. They have some guys who do it. Frederick's supposed to do it.
But where is Brown in game 3-7, potentially? And where is Kapanen? Potentially from now to game 7. So those are the kind of question marks, but it might not be enough. They got to turn themselves into, you know, poor man's Hyman for the Oilers. Can they hit a window of 7 to 10 days where they're playing out of their minds, cuz that's what it's going to take.
Yeah. I think Kapanen can. I don't know, you know, like he's
He's a gifted player.
He's got the talent, the ability. Yes. I would say over the course of his career, there's been frustration that he can't quite be what you know he can be at his best. And he's taking care of himself. He's trying to seize an opportunity here. He could be a guy.
And just looking at anytime goal scorers for tonight, been a lot of talk. Maybe we'll play the clip of Alex about Alexander Barkov, such a Barkov. 0 points through the first couple games, -4. Of course, Paul Maurice gave a smarmy answer about it.
Smarmed it right up.
But I would like, give me a Alex Barkov anytime goal tonight at +220. Gets off the schneid and he gets one on home ice. So that's my shot for an anytime goal score. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, still plenty more on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll talk about a potential three-way trade that the Leafs may have, may not have been involved, Sammy.
Yeah, and I'm also seeing edits on my Twitter account. Leafs Latest, it's like an account that, like, you know, just aggregates everything. I mean, I love it because it just really lays everything for me. But today I saw an edit of Mitch Marner in a Florida Panthers uni. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Anyways, we can talk about Marner.
Okay. If you want. also, some news out of Ottawa where their owner, Michael Andlauer, said he won't commit to spending full salary cap. Whether or not this was a good idea or not.
So that's always tough. We're a small market team, he says.
Save it. We're going to break, Sammy. Back for more. Real Kipper and Melnick
just dropped.
Sammy's itching here, folks. Don't go away.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
As a reminder, this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right, we kind of left off on the Ottawa Senators, so let's pick that up, Sammy. Mm-hmm. Ottawa owner says he won't commit to spending full cap, and that, and I quote, as it stands right now, our cash over cap is higher, which, okay. I mean, I don't know really what that means, but it's not exciting news for the Ottawa Senator fans.
He's saying we're spending more than you think we're spending.
Just lie.
No, don't lie.
Just say, yeah,
don't
we're going to spend to the cap.
No.
Don't lie, just spend to the cap.
Don't lie.
Or that.
Don't say anything at all.
No comment? Mm. What would you have, if you're his PR director?
This guy's involved.
We're doing everything we can to improve the Ottawa Senators. And whatever that means to you, we know what it means to us. And we'll look at everything.
You know, we're not going to spend the money just to spend the money. But if we have the opportunity to put a winning product on the ice, we're not going to not spend to do it.
A million ways.
You guys are good at this. You convinced me.
There's a million ways you can go around it.
Yeah.
But saying that just will kind of go, didn't we just go through that with the last owner about money and complaining and telling us that we could move? Didn't we go through all that?
I actually don't like we're a small market team more than anything else, where it's like the excitement of the new owner thing was that you're going to run it like a competitive team, try to go up against the big boys. And then when you win and you get in playoffs and you go deep, make a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, that's where the money is.
Like,
well, you got three home gates.
Okay, three's better than what they've had for the last gazillion years.
It's great.
Okay, so it's a start.
Yeah.
Start.
It's a good start, but the problem is the last little while there was, I don't know how the debt got cleaned up. That was not my business.
Mm-hmm.
But they accumulated a lot of debt over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like they may have still lost money this year.
So
that's what this is.
When you're talking about paying off
debt, this is what it sounds to me.
But when he bought the team, would that debt not have been part of what had to get cleared up in the process?
Yeah, or the debt, you just take on the debt.
Ooh.
In a 2021 Canadian census, the city of Ottawa had a population of 1.017 million, while Edmonton's population was 1.0. They're within a few thousand people, mm-hmm. almost exactly the size Edmonton and Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
The Oilers are a big deal. They do not do small numbers across Canada. I know they've been around way longer.
The last
they've had
2 years,
more success.
People would be like, it will blow their minds of how much money the Edmonton Oilers have made the last 2 years.
What did they make last night?
Back-to-back Stanley Cup Finals.
What did they make last Friday?
This is my point, though. Everyone's like, yeah, the Oilers have won. You're allowed to win, too. You win, and you build your brand as a winner and your city of champions. Spend to win, and it all comes back.
Did I hear that the 50-50 at the rink was like in the millions?
Yeah, is it accumulated over X amount of games?
Is it like the Jays Care one that you buy? Like, is it like a lottery thing?
Yeah,
I buy those tickets. You never remember to check.
Yeah, I
remember to check them. But like first
it's
of all,
it's also a crappy thing. What? I hate that.
What?
I don't like 50-50, it either.
50-50, you're in the building. Pull the number. Give it to someone who wins. Like, let's go home. Get more winners.
I personally love our Jays Care Foundation.
The foundation's a wonderful thing. They get the same amount of money.
And he's right. It's like, go check your tickets a month later.
Yeah,
and it's
remember
like,
3 Saturdays from now to go.
What jacket was I wearing?
Yeah. Gone. Do I have to have my physical ticket to win? Yeah, you still do.
Oh, I got no chance.
I got no chance of putting that ticket up on the refrigerator either.
There's one thing, though, that like Western Canada takes pride in. And it's like, boy, they love a 50-50.
Good.
Anytime I go to a junior hockey game, I buy an arm's length. It's what I do.
Yeah, you go there, you win 14 grand, you go home happy.
I went to the Oshawa Generals game at give me an arm's length.
Mike Fuda tells a story all the time on air. He was there scouting a game.
He won.
Who? Yeah.
World Juniors.
No, he did.
Yeah, he stuffed, I don't know.
50,000 or something. No, 50,000. No, it was the World Juniors.
Was it?
World Juniors.
Oh, I didn't know that, but yeah.
I think I was there.
I don't know. You know, the point is
covering the World Juniors back then.
He was in the building. They pulled his ticket. They got his money. He went home.
So the point is, 50-50s rock, and the Sens have a new cheapo owner.
Okay,
so
is that what we're talking about?
Tough break, Sens fans.
We derailed there. Sorry.
Like, if they're worried about the salary cap, where's the new rink?
It's a good question, Gibber.
I just got a text that said that Fute's total was higher than 50. Anyway.
I can't remember if it was Memorial Cup or World Juniors, but it was one of them.
Yeah.
And he still got every nickel, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of it.
Absolutely.
Not to, make this a bigger conversation, but I think we're going to see more of this, boys.
Well, that's a great way to take it.
Like, there's going to be a lot of teams.
A lot of these owners are going, I could do the 80 million cap, 130 or whatever it's going to be in 7 years.
And the exciting part of a team that is disgustingly rich and will never have to worry about that is finally having that financial might and being one of the big market teams that, will flex that muscle.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, an advantage for being popular for once.
I'm fine with you guys piling on Dubas all the time, but he got a really tough bounce.
He definitely got barbecued by it. There's no question.
As soon as he signed those deals, they're like, oh, by the way, that wiggle room, gone.
Five years. Yeah. Listen, there's something to that. I'll concede that.
And the other thing too, especially when you're talking about, as he stated, we're a small market team, is that's 83 US.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Convert that and find out how many beers you got to sell to hit the 83 to, what is it, Sammy? 110 Canadian?
It's got to be higher.
$83 million US in rupees is the first thing that comes up. In Canadian dollars.
Yeah.
$113 million.
$113.
Yeah, it's like this guy knows some of the money.
Free show calculation.
This guy's got 4 American accounts. He knows the money.
Think about that for 1 second.
Yeah.
And then if it goes to 130 in 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, and it will.
Bucks 65.
177 schmil.
177.
Yeah.
All right now.
All right.
There you go.
So let's get that loony back up on par.
Gotta sell a lot of Sleemans to make that up. Holy smokes.
Wow.
Not sure we still sell steel. They want steel anymore. Yeah. Spencer Carberry won the Jack Adams Award.
Now, did you see, I did catch on Instagram his family.
How'd they give it to him?
Award.
They throw it a paper plane through his window?
They pretended he was doing an on-air interview for Monumental, which is their local.
Our boy Alan May.
Yeah, with Alan May. And then they had his immediate family, his wife, his kids, bring in the Jack Adams trophy, which I thought it was kind of nice.
Yeah. I will say the Barkov one, I thought it was really cool. I didn't see the Barkov one. But this is the thing. We're not getting to see them, which is too bad.
And then are you watching the awards show either? So
touche. No.
But you know, it's more of a mass. It gets to the masses quicker when you do a show than this way.
They're having a show on Thursday, right?
Yeah. What is the show?
They're giving it's on Sportsnet at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Which I will be glued to. Yeah. It's they're giving out the Hart and the Vezina at this award show.
Well, that may have already leaked.
What?
I don't know if you guys saw this, but there was some media.
We want to present it live.
He's just reporting.
He's just reporting. Sam's right here. I think if we're doing a broadcast.
What did you see? What did you see?
Don't worry about it.
Well, I'm seeing nothing.
I'm going on right now. Okay, I'm just going by what's out there. I'm not saying it's true.
Here's what's out there.
Yeah.
Someone somewhere thought they saw some leak of a media release with like the faded image of Connor Hellebuck in the backyard with the Vezina and the Hart Trophy.
Oh, okay. So if it's on the internet, it must be true.
Both?
I'm not telling you it's the truth. I'm telling you what I heard.
Wow.
All right.
I don't know.
Should be Leon.
There is
not enough to not watch the program to find out if it's true.
Okay, but here's like the good part is like, there's no credibility to it whatsoever because we don't know who's reporting it. It's just what you saw.
I saw Mitch Marner in a Florida Panthers jersey today on the internet. It could be anything, could be true.
Yeah. So. Well, and actually, Paul Maurice recently did a part of his press conference where he talked about being mad. I guess there was some AI version. You know, you see all these guys fake press conferences.
Buddy.
Where he was talking about, you know, where he said that coaches shouldn't touch the Stanley Cup. And he's like, I never said that.
I've been sent a few AI things by people I will not name because I don't want to embarrass them publicly.
Yeah.
But the AI stuff is just like, you're getting some wild.
I got to tell you, it's been tough on Kipper's generation.
The people who sent it to me are in
I'm telling you that, like,
they may live in the house that I grew up in.
Would you defend everything you see now or hear about yourself on the internet? Like,
no,
you'd be around it 24 hours a day.
It's getting hard to establish truths, getting harder to establish. Mm-hmm. A unified truth of reality. And it's, there's stuff out there now that, you know, we've had twice, I think we've had guests on this show be like, I don't know if you guys saw that thing. And we're like, wait, what? And it was like some AI thing that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So just be careful out there.
Yeah, just make sure you send it to your daughter or son. They'll look at it for you.
Yeah.
They'll make sure you.
And at a glance, they'll be like, not real.
Extremely not real. Quickly, I don't know if you care about this or not, but the Gavin McKenna stuff with him going to the States, do you care about this at all?
Sure.
I just...
About all the good players jumping ship now to go to college.
Breaks my heart, yeah.
College hockey rules.
Yeah, I know you love it, but like...
I do love it. It's so cool.
It is for like the American guys.
Yeah.
The only thing that bothers me too is like...
It's like Gavin McKenna's lifeblood of Medicine Hat. It's like, I'm going to get millions to go to Penn State.
Go to Penn State. Go to school then and go
to Alberta.
You're only going there for a year, year and a half, and then you're going to jump ship and turn pro. It's like because
Kipper now with NIL.
No, I get all that.
How could you ever fall?
Like,
you're taking
experience for a year. Mm. You know, there's no 16-year-olds playing for Michigan State guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just think it. The system should still be set up for students.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a joke.
Right?
To
me, that's a joke that the players would go down there for a year to just take the money and then run.
Intro to Penguin training and whatever and else like, they take.
No, you should be going to Penn State because you want an education, because you want to go to school.
A great education there.
And
right?
I am, you know, a diehard junior hockey guy at heart, and I am concerned about the future a little bit when it's like, it's a copy, everything's copycat. And it's Gavin McKenna, who is the best player in junior hockey.
Yeah.
Is probably going to, I don't know how much he's going to get off.
Clearing the best path for the next ones.
Yeah. Where it's like, oh, so I can go make, I don't know what, $2 million for 1 year to play before I make it to the pros.
It's also development. It's like, you know, go up to this level with some older people and you know, this is kind of going to be the,
I don't know. It's scary to me.
I guess it's
scary for smaller markets like Owen Sound too.
For sure. Like I really worry. Like I said before we got into it, Gavin McKenna is like the next coming of Connor McDavid and you're a Medicine Hat person who now in his draft year, where he's going to be the absolute best he's about to be, he's going to go dominate the World Juniors. Like, it's the big year. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's like, well, I'm going to go make $3 million and play in America. Even though I'm from the Yukon, I came here, I was drafted here. It's just really against the spirit of, like, Canadian junior hockey to me. It's really upsetting.
I think we're going to see.
Yeah, he's from the Yukon.
Great.
Between now and maybe another year, year and a half, 2 years, we're going to see a lot of different rules shaping up. Well, they're just not.
Like, in terms of blocking that?
It's all getting reorganized.
Yes, in terms of tightening everything up. Mm-hmm. Between the federations and the NHL, led by Gary Bettman and Bill Daly, they got to make sure that the system is healthy for everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. They cannot see the CHL bearing the USHL, and they cannot see the NCAA bearing the CHL. It serves no purpose to have one eating the other. Mm-hmm. So they've got to come up with something that makes sure that it's healthy for everybody.
Yep.
Well, and
there is enough sunshine for everybody here.
I know, for sure. But it's on the chaos surface right now. Exactly. It just feels like it's,
I know.
As soon as you get NIL involved, it seems like it's the absolute wild west.
What you see right now isn't how it's going to end up. And to your point, wild west doesn't work for anybody.
No.
And they just can't have guys going from zero to $10 million. There has to be something in between that makes sense.
I know guys, I know the Collegiate Development Alliance, like there's these other leagues that can form and ways for these people to develop things are shaping up behind the scenes right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to look very different from how it's looking.
It is. And Gary and Bill Daly have a big say in all of this because these are their future players here.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure behind the scenes they're working hard on finding.
Like, maybe it's crazy. Like, basketball's had the college as a sham thing forever.
Yeah.
Right.
One and done. Right. Yeah. Because they used to be drafted at a high school.
Right.
LeBron was drafted at a high school. Yeah. Kevin Garnett, high school. Yeah.
The one thing I do want to see is terrific junior A hockey right now in North America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to have to rebuild that whole thing. There needs to be.
Yeah. No, the
Memorial Cup is great, but it's old and stale.
I got to add in a couple of new teams from a different league or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
And possibly involve the USHL in a North American championship.
Totally fine with that. And that brings in a little bit more, you know, nationalism and pride and the different teams from the different countries. I like that. So I guess there's a Stanley Cup final game tonight. We didn't really need to talk about that for that long.
But I just thought it's an interesting topic. Game three here, folks.
Huge.
It doesn't matter, guys. Who cares?
Huge.
I mean, of course.
It's a must win for both.
Like, you know, at this point, it's like.
Is this the Stanley Cup winner?
No.
Winner of game three?
It's not. These teams are so good. You know, so far through two games, they've been within one goal of each other the entire time, except for 70 seconds. There's been four lead changes in just two games. Like, this is tight.
It's tight.
Who do you like tonight?
I just love how the combination of.
I think
experience from previous series that you're seeing and physicality skill.
I think Florida moves the puck better than Edmonton.
So?
Yeah, I do. I think they're a better passing team. And there's windows where I watch the Florida Panthers pass, and I'm like, wow.
I mean, they're a true team, right? They're top to bottom.
The one thing I would be worried about for Edmonton is that if it doesn't go well tonight, then the onus is more on Leon to make more individual efforts,
right?
Which could put a lot of stress on the Oilers.
You got to get one in Florida if you're the Oilers. You'd sure like to do it the first night.
Give me the Oil tonight. Another overtime game.
Game three tonight.
I'm gonna take Florida.
Pre-game starts 7:30. Puck drop after 8 p.m. on Sportsnet and the CBC. Enjoy game three. And we're back tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Thanks to Chris Pronger, Hall of Famer, for joining us. Enjoy your night, everybody.